Los Angeles.
Portions of today's programming are reproduced by means of electrical
Sorry, that was a screw-up. I thought I had the right song, but I guess I don't. I got to fix it again. But we don't need to waste time with that anyway, as long as this is. But first, us at the Starlight Drive, and okay, everybody stand up and put your baseball caps. And I even got one just to put over my heart. And you do too. You do too, Carl.
I got it. I got it. I'm set.
And before we do it, if Carl sounds like shit tonight, that's because he's living in hardware.
Yes, all the smoke coming from Canada.
Yeah, all the smoke coming from Canada. The air is unbreathable and unlookable through it.
Yeah, it's fucking weird, man.
Yeah, it was like it's dark all day. Isn't that what you told me?
Yeah, dark all day.
So I got my hat over my heart. What are we doing?
Yeah, here we go. This is a tribute to Richard Hollingsworth's amazing invention back 90 years ago, the Parkway Drive-In. And here we go. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday, dear drive-in. Happy birthday to you. Yesterday, we missed it by one day, was the day of the 90-year anniversary that Richard Hollingsworth started the Park-In Drive-In. And do you remember what's the first drive-in movie ever shown, Carl?
No, but I would guess maybe Scarface?
No, Woman Beware. It was like an old film that they could get cheap because they treated, till the 50s, they treated the drive-ins like shit because they wanted to give all of the big movies to the indoor theaters.
Right. But still, so, pretty cool.
Yeah, but we've done like a 4-hour show on the drive-in, and it's in the archives on Blog Talk. So go thee hither and listen. And today was another birthday. Last week, Gary Kent died. And if you met him and he liked you, you was automatically a friend of his. You don't know how surprised I was when he started chats with me sometimes or even just asked me how I was doing.
Yeah, he did the same with me, too.
Yeah. He was one of the toughest, baddest stuntmen ever and one of the nicest damn people you're ever going to meet in your entire life.
Wonderful, man. One thing I do want to say about Gary, they posted today, his family, there's a GoFundMe out there to raise money for his favorite charity, which was for cats and feral kittens, which makes exact sense if you knew Gary. So take a look at his particular, I have it posted on my page too, Carl Kafer, and you can go to Gary Warner Kent and see it there too. But if you have $5 or something in honor of Gary, please send it.
Yeah. And I could give you a big blah blah of all his credits and all that, follow the role and not what Gary would have liked. All I got to say is I'm going to miss my friend.
Agreed. Agreed.
And if you want to watch a great movie about who he was and why we loved him so much, look up, it's free on Amazon. It's called Danger God.
Yeah,
and
he's joined Jefferson. He's joined Jefferson Richard up in heaven, and they're making low-budget movies, and they're having a blast. So, yeah.
Hanging with his wife, and Ray Dennis Steckler and Regina Carroll again, and talking shit with the guy who directed The Dark, John Bud Cardos.
Yep. He's with all his buddies up there.
Oh, and our condolences to who's the boy doing the set for, the guy who died a couple of days ago, one of his movies, The Lawyer.
I have no idea what you're talking about. I'm sorry.
Your friend, the one you like so much. He did with The Lawyer, The Boys and Company C.
Oh, Barry Newman. Barry Newman.
Yeah, Barry Newman. Yeah. And who's the guy I'm trying to think of? Your friend.
Daniel Kramer
not only interviewed him for the DVD and did a talk with him for a Blu-ray of Vanishing Point, he actually had him
In one of his films. And which was called Raise Your Kids on Seltzer. Daniel was a very micro-budget director. And he got him in. And I've not yet seen the film. Barry Newman and him were good friends. And so, yeah, definite condolences to Daniel and to Barry Newman's family. He was like 92 or something like that, so he had a good
life.
Yeah,
but still, it's hard to lose a friend or a family member.
And the other thing I would mention about him, you mentioned Vanishing Point. I would also mention, check out The Lawyer and check out The Lion.
Yeah, I mentioned The Lawyer, if you remember.
Yeah, The Lawyer and The Limey, too, has a great supporting role in The Limey.
Yeah. But we're entering virgin territory for us fans, and God, you don't know how excited us fantasy, surrealism / sci-fi fans get when a new vein that we've been aching with all our bones to mine becomes easily accessible to us.
Yes.
And this one, everyone who is a cult movie fan knows this poster of The Hourglass Sanatorium by heart. But for some reason, it never was released on VHS in America. It never was released on Laserdisc and never released on Blu-ray.
Or even DVD. I don't think there was a DVD of it either.
Yeah, I said DVD.
Okay.
So when Vinegar Syndrome announced partner Blu-ray of this and the Saragossa manuscript, it was so, a lot of us acted like teenagers who had just gotten their first good lay of their life. Well, you know what I thought it was. Holy shit. Yes.
Yep. I remember.
And this is just pure 100% weirdness and surrealism. And it may be Carl can correct me as we go along. This is the only one of the few Jewish Polish surrealism films, ever made.
Well, I've yet, you know, to be honest, I've yet to see the whole film. But it's definitely Jewish. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
There are some things out there. I'll do some work as we're watching it. But there are some things out there.
Yeah. And go right now, either get your Blu-rays out, if you got them, or go to YouTube and look up the Hourglass Sanatorium 1973. And let me get started and pause it at the zero mark.
Which I am at.
Yeah. And here we go in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go.
Okay, here we go.
These films were like whispered in the dark to us fantasy fans when they came out. And it's interesting how a lot of Polish fantasy films are very Jewish. Could you explain why the Polish films were Jewish?
Well,
you know,
yeah,
had the Jewish slant.
I mean, part of that is that the filmmakers were, you know, that area, Poland, was very much diaspora, you know, for Jews as they looking for new places and new lands. And so, you know, from the early Middle Ages in that, there were people, there were communities that were specifically Jewish in Eastern Europe, and they were very, very much part of the landscape. And then, of course, you know, being a filmmaker, don't forget that
yeah,
a lot of the Jewish landowners,
well,
and so on and so forth, so they had money.
And stuff right there.
Yeah.
They're all, that's all Jewish,
mm-hmm,
you know, Jewish way. And how did you love that when it pulled back that the vision outside, the view outside the train is a film?
Yep.
And there's a title, Sanatorium Podo Hourglass, or is it called Hourglass, Hourglass Sanatorium, or Hourglass Sanitarium?
So I'm
and
noticing
already,
that,
yeah, go ahead.
I'm noticing that a lot of the background characters are not human. They're mannequins. And some of that comes in. Yeah, they're mannequins. They're not human.
You could,
so
I bet 7 to come 11 that the guy who did Dr. Tarr's Torture Dungeon has seen this.
Monoxuma.
Yeah, but there's all, from the very start, there's an unreal quality about this that you really can't put your finger on, because look how rusted and old everything looks. Like,
mm-hmm,
look at the wheelchair with, like, the old grass and everything.
Mm-hmm. That is gorgeous, though.
Yeah, it's like this movie takes, this movie, that's why I put my thing, because this movie really takes place out of time. I mean, Carl could probably pinpoint a time from the Jewish costumes, but...
No, not particularly. Not particularly.
Hasidic, but the Hasidic Jews always wore the dress like that.
If they're going to, like, that thing on the, you know, that person on the left, I think, is a mannequin.
Yeah.
But they still do. They still do to this day, particularly if they're going to shul or to synagogue.
Yeah, and this is our first reoccurring character in the movie right now. The short. Don't look, Carl.
Movies.
But yeah, I mean, this character right here. The short version of this story is it's about a man who's coming to this sanatorium to look at his father, to visit his father one last time who is dying.
The lighting.
You notice he knew
face,
him, but
man.
He was blind.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of walking through the past.
Yeah.
This is the character that we're following all through the movie.
So one thing I want to bring out, you know, when we talk of, you know, you're talking specifically Polish, and this is these films from Poland have not been available. But the whole area of Eastern Europe did go through a period of definite surrealistic horror, like Valerie and Her Week of Wonders, which is a Czech film, B, which is Russian, and of course, Valerie and Celine and Julie go both.
And Loki.
And Loki. I mean, this was...
The one about the werebear. Werebear.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. It's just so creepy and decrepit. You notice there's only been, we have been about, I'm going to pause it real quick, 7 minutes and 37 seconds in, and we've only had one line of dialogue.
Yep.
Film is already, as we put, I'm going to cut out the dirty words for this. This already messing with you.
Mm-hmm.
Messing with your head. And there's another reoccurring character. See?
Mm-hmm.
We are out of time. And explain to him, because my southernness man, what do I mean when I use the term out of time?
Basically, what you're saying is that time is not a factor. You are going to go forward and back. You're going to have memories. It's going to be, you're not going to have.
Yeah, and like she said, the sun never rises here.
Never sets. It's always
yeah, never
morning.
Set. Well. Bloop. Carl, told
you
not to be on there.
You know, think of any time travel movie, okay? And you think of that, and you know, you go to and from places, and you don't know exactly where you are, and if something happens, it changes things. It changes the setting. Yeah. And so that happens here, but it's through the dream logic.
Yeah, dream logic. And like I said, that whole thing where right there where he just clapped for no reason and they don't explain why, like what he's doing. Oh, this is supposed to be a health sanatorium, like Kellogg ran.
Mm-hmm.
We call them spas now. How do you like it? His desk casts a shadow on existence here.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right when it comes to the whole memory thing, you know.
Well, absolutely. Basically, this brand of surrealism has a lot to do with memory and how you perceive things. Also, there's a lot of political and sort of like social comment in these as you go along. I've not seen this movie,
yeah.
So I can't really say what exactly that is yet.
I mean, look, the freaking poster is a giant freaking eyeball.
Mm-hmm.
One of the most striking and eye-catching images I know. Now I want to see this on the big screen, damn it.
Oh, yeah.
See? If it wasn't so weird, I could see Vicky digging on the science speculation in this. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And you know where else this could be if you is a Christian and not a Jew?
Well, it could be purgatory.
Yeah, limbo.
But the Jews have their own sort of version of that.
Yeah.
Nothing specific.
So this place doesn't move through time. It's just slow.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what caused him to go there. He thinks it's his father, but he's come there as a patient.
Right. One of the things I could surmise is that the doctor represents perhaps the ruling party of Poland. If this is done in 73, we definitely have Russian influence still there. They're behind the Iron Curtain. And
yeah,
by the way,
Go ahead.
I was just going to say this movie was definitely canceled by the government. They did not want this release, and they put their foot down. They didn't want it released to the Cannes Film Festival in Venice, but the filmmaker, Wojciech Haas, the director, was able to scurry out a copy of the film to both Cannes and Venice, where it won awards.
Yeah. Well, look at the backers of his first film. I forget who else, but one of the major backers of the film was, when I mean backers, I mean supporters and helped it get U.S. distribution, which this one didn't get, was Jerry Garcia, who loved this film. I mean, this movie is very visual, if you know this, because in every scene, it's like he's looking or observing. Doggies!
Well, they were deer, I think.
Deer don't have that big a fur.
He sees himself coming in.
Yeah. Time stops. In there. Mm-hmm. And the loop for him starts when he walks into the sanatorium.
Probably, my guess would be when he's on the train, actually.
Yeah. Well, this is the first obvious view of the...
Of the loop.
Yeah. So you remember when he opened it the first time, it was a solid wall.
Right.
See, we've already seen a split in the timeline.
Mm-hmm.
This could be the big question, which is, what is time? Is time what? Mm-hmm. And if you notice, everything is starting to become alive again as he catches up with the timeline. Well, with each divergent timeline. That's the same little girl that let him in.
And that's his dad.
Oh.
This is fun.
Not bad.
No, I take that back. That's not, not sure.
I bet that's his mother.
That could be.
You look for easy explanations in this.
And you're not going to get them.
Yeah.
That is his mother.
Yeah. So we can already deduce that the sanatorium is his
memories
in a way.
Or mind. His mind is manufacturing memories, perhaps.
Yeah. But yeah, this is during the last bit of the Polish occupation of Russia ended about 85, 86 when Lwacka Lenza took over as president. Yeah. Anything that was considered anti-communist was pretty much banned. If the movie ended right now because of a bad print, I'd still be in love with it and want to see the damn rest of it.
Oh yeah.
Thank God this is living up to expectations. Which after all the lust for this throughout the years, did you hear all the screams that came from behind that door?
Yep.
But, yeah, after all the years, usually when you see a movie with all this anticipation, after, let's see, 73, 83, 93.
50 years.
2000, yeah, 2003. 03. No, it ain't 50 because I was born in 70 and I'm 53.
Yeah, so this is 73, 3 years. No, you're 53. If you're born in 76.
I was born in 70.
Okay, so 1970, you are 53 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm
50
saying
years old.
This...
3 years after you, it's 50 years old.
Hey, I've done that too.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, that's when I visited you, Carl.
No, there's your rabbi.
I walked the vineyard of a stoop. Russian Orthodox Jews, too.
No, Russian Orthodox is Catholic. No, you got it wrong.
Remember Bakshi's family was Russian Orthodox?
Was Russian Jews. Russian
yeah.
Orthodox is the Catholic. Russian Orthodox is Catholic. They were Russian Jews. Orthodox means in this term that they are, you have the Reformed, you have the Orthodox, and then you have the Hasidic. But if you say Russian Orthodox, most people will consider that to be part of the Russian Orthodox Church, which is an offshoot of the Catholic Church.
Yeah,
so
they were until they were banned from the church in the time of the Great Purge. When they, a lot of them, including Bakshi's family,
Jews,
came
yeah.
over to America.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's Fiddler on the Roof, guys. Oh, okay, hold on. I got to check this out.
Now you're beginning to understand why I call this one of the most Jewish movies ever made.
Oh, well, absolutely.
And that's another reason the Russians banned it, because pretty much, like I said, at the time of the Great
Purge,
they
were very anti-Jew. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Praise him with the drums and dancing. This is Psalm, which one is this? Psalm 131, I think?
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, there's no time, no straight religion, you know.
Well, this is part of the Psalms. So this is, they definitely use the Psalms, Jews. Oh, I love it. This is great.
It seems like the main guy is an undercover Jew.
Right.
And her talking about her father goes away as a thing and only comes at night could be from hiding the fact that their father was murdered for being a Jew.
Yeah. And this is definitely memory.
God bless those beautiful priests.
Yeah.
That's your kind of woman, Carl. Pull you into a window
and
grab
your hair. By the way, I think that's another version of his mother.
I don't know. Still, that's your kind of woman, Carl.
I got no problem with it.
And this could tie into that line from There Is a Crack from Leonard Cohen.
Yeah.
There is a crack in everything, and that's how the light gets in. Because if you notice, he put a lot of Jewish stuff in his songs, too.
Oh, yeah.
That's a Prussian helmet.
Right. So he is now, like, he's now like 9 years old. Okay? They have no problem with nudity at this point in time, of course. Of course, it's
well, you can't deal with someone's honest memories without the first time they seen a woman naked, blah blah blah. You know, suk suk sugar. Ooh, but you know what I mean.
Okay, I gotta say that is a nice tuchus. I'm just saying.
I love how they're lighting it up with that red stuff, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know what? That sounds like a audio reference, too, and it would be a Czech film done by a Jew.
No.
The Fireman's Ball.
Right.
There is so much. Well, this is based on a series of short stories by this
Give me a moment here. I'll give you that information. Here it is. A moment. Let me get up there. Okay, so the film's directed by Wojciech Jerzy Haas, and it's an adaptation of Bruno Schulz's story collection, Sanatorium Under the Sign of the Hourglass, is the name of the book, you know, the translated name of the book. Of course, it was originally published in Polish. So the thing is, Joseph is always shown as an adult, but his behavior and the people around him depict him as a child. And So the one thing about this adaptation is that Haas adds a series of reflections on the Holocaust present in the original text, and that's what got him into trouble with the government.
That was a no-no.
Yeah,
there's even people over here in the good old free United States of America who deny that the Holocaust even happened.
Right.
See another book.
Yep.
I know which one you'd read first.
The gramophones.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
How do you like that? He's complaining about the degradation of a original book.
Actually, Vicki and I are going to be talking about that tomorrow.
Oh, my God, Montag!
Oh, my God, that is Montag.
You see what I mean, don't you? The hat, desecration of an original book.
Yeah.
Zacznijmy pan wyjść stamtąd. Przecież w ten sposób nie można rozmawiać.
Przepraszam.
Okay, abandon any explanation right now. Because you ain't getting one.
Well, this is a switch into another one of the stories.
Right.
That's how Carl used to look when he visited certain parts of New York on Saturday night. And what is that guy dressed up like?
Like a Amazonian, maybe?
Aztec priest.
Aztec priest, okay.
Yeah, more religion. And that's another thing that, you know, it's a no-no.
Mm-hmm.
Abandon all hope, ye who shall enter,
who enter here,
wanting logic. This looks like a Blind Man and Elephant movie.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so he's like he's acting like the main rabbi, the head rabbi of the whole area.
Well, look at the hat. Look at his hair.
Yeah.
No, I mean how it's shaped.
Yeah.
And plus, what's the other meaning of father besides
God?
Well, priest.
Yeah, well, that's why I said he's acting like the head rabbi of the whole
area.
Yeah,
but they never called rabbi father. That's a Catholic word.
What do you think rabbi means in Hebrew?
Carl
father.
Needs to shut up. Ha, ha, ha. No. But the phoenix with the ashes, that's all Aztec.
Oh, absolutely.
Arises from the rash ashes. And
it was
another...
also
death and resurrection metaphor, which is also used by the Catholics in
Christians all over the place.
Yeah.
And by the way, The Phoenix was a really bad TV show in the 70s, so I just wanted to say that.
What do you think about that line, Carl?
Like a soars in the air like a phoenix.
Well, I mean that a book is amiss, my son.
Oh, absolutely.
And there's that girl again.
Or the boy.
That's that girl who was the nurse when you first walked in. She's just dressed up.
I'm not so sure about that. Remember, you saw a boy out the window, too.
They never showed the face.
No, but they didn't show the face, but it could be this boy.
Yeah, but, oh, stamps. Magic words.
Mm-hmm. That could even represent him as a kid. I don't know.
Yeah.
I have no fucking clue.
There is no clues. But I love what it's saying. I don't know what it means, but I love what it's saying. And what it's saying is what was dangerous. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Now they look like zombies.
Russian soldiers.
Yeah. Like there was a war. Now you're back to... Okay, so that's a time shift.
Yeah. If this is what I think it is, 1919 Russia...
Could be.
That's the time of the Great Purge. Oh, look who's back.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. How do you like the answer we got?
Yeah. Yes and no.
Yeah. Some events are too magnificent to explain. They just happen.
I will tell our listeners and our watchers right now, if you don't think I'm going to go back and watch this like three times, and I would suggest that you do too.
Elephant. Yeah. It's like I told Tracy, I will get this, this will be mine. Oh, yes, Oh, how do you like that the leaf turned into a...
Butterfly.
You look at something from one side, you see something different. But if you look from the other side, you look at one side,
absolutely,
you see a leaf and
Well, it's all perception. This is all about perception. What do we really see? How does time, have an effect on that?
Do we remember things the way they happen? Or do we remember things the way we wanted them to happen?
Exactly. No, that's exactly it. It's all perception. Is that the same actress as the nurse? I think so.
Yeah. Tracy said, I have this up on my iPad, and then she heard like her jaw dropped. She said, freaky greatness.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with her. There's some films that when they're surreal, you want to know why.
And some you just don't care.
Don't give a fuck.
One of my favorite films is a surreal film, my number two film of all time. And it also came out the same year as this. And that's A Lucky Man. A Lucky Man. Very surreal. Not nearly as much as this, though.
Yeah, but it's episodic and has a straight timeline.
Sort of, yes. Yeah, it does. It does. I give you that. But it is surreal and it's very episodic.
This one, there's no...
Yeah,
you try to write down a timeline. And
there's no fucking way.
Like characters appearing out of nowhere. Something beautiful, something colonial, terrifying, abduction, produced betrayal.
By the way, I have to say that this print is absolutely gorgeous.
Oh, God, yeah. Oh. This must be the restoration that they're using on
the... This has to be the restoration.
And how many times have you read a book or a story after so many years and you realize, and right now with him saying the stamp book is a universal book,
mm-hmm.
I'll get back to my thought. He's saying that everything is how you look at it.
Yeah.
To go what I'm saying, how many times have you read a story that you did, that you read about 20 years ago, and then you read it 20 years, and it's not the story that you remembered you read? You either added details, left out details, but you remember vividly the story that you read.
Right.
Every time he crosses a wall or a boundary,
he goes into a different place or a different time.
Yeah, different place, different time. Oh, thorn to the nuts. Ow.
There's no final Mexico.
Yeah, so do not fuck with us.
Yeah.
Do not fuck with us, Carl. I want that on the damn shirt. As a fuck you, as a F you to all the Trumpers out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every time you destroy a Mexico, there's a new one. But that was him sort of explaining. Every time that he leaves another one world,
he goes to
a new one pops up.
Oh, monkey.
I mean, listen, he's in a jungle scene now, and there's the boat.
That looks like a fucking large rabbit.
What?
Something. Well, that trunk, it looked
oh,
almost
yeah.
like a rabbit.
But, yeah, how do you like it? That steamboat appears out of nowhere.
Yeah.
I would like to go back in time and find out who thought that this movie wasn't as good to pick up in the days of El Topo and put on the
Seriously.
Big screen and punched them in the mouth.
So this is all the mannequins now. Remember we saw
no,
mannequins
real,
at the beginning.
No, they're real because they turned and looked at him.
No, there are mannequins there. These are definitely mannequins.
Yeah, but
I'm not saying that there aren't some human actors.
That one's a mannequin. The ones that he's already met are mannequins. And the ones that he hasn't met yet, a.k.a. like him. Oh, who's that supposed to be? That should explain a lot, too. Didn't you recognize who his what the costume was?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
The Don Quixote guy sitting at the
chair. Oh, okay, gotcha.
See, that guy's real. But you understand why Don Quixote would be important.
Yes.
Tilting at windmills, thinking that he's...
As I said, forgive me for my coughing, and the smoke is just horrible.
We already said that at the first of the show.
Yeah.
Okay, they just explained the mannequins.
Right.
Just not why they're there. Polish history lesson, folks.
Mother's talking.
James Fenimore Cooper.
Addiction to masturbation ruined his life.
You know, so it looks like a guy I know, and I would believe that masturbation ruined his life.
Actually, masturbation actually keeps me alive, so there you go.
No, the fact that I'm not near you with a gun sometimes, or a knife, or a ball bat.
Well, the last time I saw you, we went out to breakfast.
Yeah, and 3 weeks later, I was in the fucking hospital.
It was 3 days later.
No, weeks. Because after that, I met Josh. And then...
No, Josh saw you in September, and I saw you in October.
No,
it was the same month.
It was the same month.
It was within a month, that's for sure.
Yeah, he came like a couple weeks. He came like a week after you. Hey, like Fargo. I'll be back in a minute. You go on and talk.
Okay, fair enough. So I'm not really saying too much other than, like, really focusing on the film and this particular segment. But while Stephen is around, let me just give you an idea of the director. Okay, so the director, Wojciech Haas, he was born in Krakow, Poland in 1925, graduated in 1946 from the Krakow Film Institute, made a number of documentary shorts, and his feature film debut was in 1958, The Noose. And the two films that are released for the first time in America is this one, which is The Hourglass Sanatorium, and also then The Saragossa Manuscript. But he also did a version of did a film called Lydia Ate the Apple, which is 1958, and the rest of the films I'm not familiar with. But the funny thing is, these two films, and particularly this one, has such a great cult reputation of those that have seen it.
Movie would have been big on the midnight circuit. But how do you like the big Polish, the history lesson here?
Yeah.
And that's a dangerous thing to put into a movie, too, especially someone that likes to create their own narrative,
mm-hmm.
which is another metaphor in this movie. You know what I
yep.
mean?
Yeah, well, absolutely. Yeah, we didn't get into, I was telling him about the director. The
okay,
automaton,
go ahead.
No, that's fine. I'm done with it. But the automaton, too, and the idea of these are controlled and they're mechanical and they can be fixed and we can fix whatever history is to our liking, I think is a good metaphor also.
Yeah, and that's probably another thing that pissed off the Russians.
Oh, well, listen, I can see it. I mean, just from the fact that this doesn't have a clear narrative, you're not connecting with it in an emotional sense.
I'm just talking about what you said.
Yeah, but I'm just saying the whole film is you're not connecting to it emotionally. You have to connect to it intellectually, which the government doesn't exactly want you to use your mind. Right.
Yeah, and plus that look like that, you know, that fuck you about how the government is creating their own history.
Right, exactly.
The fact that blood's coming out of it.
Yeah.
This is why I think I love 70s surrealism more than the modern one. This one trusts you to be smart and goes into dream logic.
Mm-hmm.
And the 90s and the old ones are just simply trying to shock you.
Well, the 70s were that I consider is the greatest decade in film. Of course, I grew up in the 70s and became of age in the 70s. We've talked about this. But you're right. They were, the directors were given basically free rein, and they expected their audience to keep up. You know, and so, you know, what was released, you know, it's like you threw it against the wall. You wasn't sure what was going to hit. But the directors were able to do personal projects.
And plus, a lot of the bigger midnight movies would be exclusively, like in New York City. The Waverly had exclusive rights to El Topo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the porno films had their exclusive rights to Misty Beethoven and Talk Dirty to Me. So you would have room in the midnight movie movement for weird little movies to go in.
Absolutely.
But
and the marketing
sad
was
that
too,
we go ahead.
The marketing for the midnight movies was also designed for the younger audiences who were smoking pot, and they encouraged that. So a film like this, it's the images. They're not going to get everything, but they're going to be entertained by the images and by everything.
Well,
you know,
don't forget El Topo got the intellectual crowd, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not saying they didn't. But, you know, young people that particular time period wanted to be intellectual, you know, and strive to be. So something like this wouldn't scare them off.
Yeah, I was just thinking like nowadays, Gaspar Noé and them just want to shock. The closest I can come to 70s surrealism is Haneke.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. And there are different takes on surrealism, too.
Yeah, magic realism, fantastic surrealism. Well, just go to the Holy Mountain.
Yeah.
Extreme surrealism to religious surrealism to surrealism to magic realism to realism.
And then dream logic, too. Dream logic is part of that.
Yeah. But what's the second word in the term dream logic?
Logic.
Right. Like, this movie may be surreal, weird, dreamy, but it has its own logic.
Mm-hmm.
And in case you're wondering, yes, that's the Polish, well, the Russian soldier's outfit. So we're definitely he's definitely showing images from the Great Purge. And since you're a fanatic of the Jewish, tell our audience with probably better clarity than I could what the Great Purge was that I've been referring to off and on.
So Nicholas and Alexandria were the Tsar and Tsarist of Russia in the 19-teens. And through various political and pressures and so on and so forth, Lenin came in and basically took over, and it became a communist. And Lenin then basically wanted to get all the impure elements out of Russia. And so that meant the Jewish diaspora, which you call the Great Purge. And again, if you want a good, you know, at least an understanding of it, simple understanding, watch Fiddler on the Roof, because that's exactly what it's about.
Well, it leads up to it.
Well, actually, you see them right at the end. They're leaving. The last song, they're all leaving. Yeah.
And let's see, another one would be the 12 chairs.
Yes.
Or as another addendum, if we was writing like annotated note, the first 5 minutes of Bocce's American Pop.
Yes.
Right now I'm at the part where the woman's laying in the bed outside, which is an image either the person who did Valerie and Eureka Wonder scene. Well, no, that's been a common view in there. Even Baba's Lisa and the Devil had that image of the bed lying in the grass. Look how important books are to him.
Mm-hmm. Here's our friend again.
Yeah. Remember, I'm a little bit behind you because of a little boo-boo that happened. At 1 minute and 1 second. He's still talking to the woman on the bed.
Okay, so you're at 101. I'm going back a little bit, okay? There. He's talking to the woman on the bed now.
Yeah. But I still say that Hellman has to do, and him worrying about the book right there, has to do with Montag and book burning.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The whole...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Fahrenheit 451.
That's the first time I've ever seen that in those two phrases together.
Mm-hmm.
You'll become a black Negro, Carl. That's like you going into ice cream shop and over two scoops, and you want one to be vanilla and the other one to be the white ice cream.
Yeah.
See, I told you that woman was the boy. And there he is again. The ticket taker.
Ah, okay, gotcha.
The conductor.
Yeah.
The way he wanders around, he could be a very specific character from Jewish folklore.
Well,
especially with the light on his chest.
Well, I'm thinking he's an amalgam for death.
And since he's a Polish and Jewish, the wandering or
yeah,
the eternal Jew.
Mm-hmm.
See, look at his chest.
Yep.
There's a knife in it. That's a good question right there, and I would say
yeah,
with my illnesses, yes. Time is too tight to take it all in. God damn.
To a dead end.
Yeah, why don't you try going under the bed again? This is like a maze, too.
Yes. Now I'm about 5 seconds behind you. Okay, he's under the bed now.
Okay. Tell me when they showed the show what's
no,
on
no,
the
no,
table.
No, keep going. I'm like only a couple seconds. Keep going.
Okay. And right now they're showing a table covered with eyeballs.
Yep. I'm there.
And there's the clock that the conductor uses. Except that they ain't got, you know.
And there's his father.
Yeah.
Oh. Sentences and tenses. Oh, we're getting into ninth grade English here.
The one thing that can probably... Go ahead.
I was just going to ask, did you ever have to diagram sentences in English?
No, because I was reading in a high school grade level in third grade.
Yeah, be glad, because we had to do that in ninth grade, and it was fucking awful. Anyway, go ahead.
But the one thing that can probably be guaranteed from fact is that his father was killed during the Lenin's purge.
Mm-hmm.
Which happened in between World War One and World War Two. Post-Russian Revolution. Been a metaphor too, and I haven't been able to think out the whole having him carry an egg around with him.
The egg is the idea that hasn't come to fruition yet, would be my guess. They keep talking about books and how books are the depository of ideas. So I think the egg represents the idea. Again, that's just conjecture.
And the books are also the depository of dangerous thoughts.
Oh, absolutely.
And what's funny is the movie that it used the fire helmet from and the book, Fahrenheit 451, is not about burning books. It was Bradbury's fear of how we were overwatching TV. But people couldn't get the double the double metaphor as they talk about in this movie. Well, this movie's got double, triple. Hey, Carl, can I get you one of those and show you how to use it?
Sure, why not?
I give you your coffee in a quick way.
The bird of paradise.
Ha ha! How you liked it? Points for Carl. He hit that nail so on the head that it went in with one blow.
Yeah. Thank you.
You notice that behind him it looks like he's got wings too?
Yep.
Did you? That was.
Yeah, I see.
Him knocking on the abacus and saying, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he's found another book.
Yep.
The Alban Book of British Buds.
I'm fascinated by this. You know, I'm sorry I'm not saying as much as I should.
Oh, no. What we're saying means something rather than some of our usual silliness. Ooh, the movie. What the? Why'd he do that just like a kid?
Because he's a 9-year-old now. Haven't you caught that? Where he stays the same, but with each character that he's talking about
is
a specific time.
His mom.
That might be his grandmother, by the way. I'm not sure.
No, that's
maybe
his mother.
Mom.
Yeah. You hear what he's doing upstairs? You ought to know.
Masturbated.
No, the Sabbath.
Ah.
Hey, you know. Only reason that I know is the Sabbath. This must have been when practicing in Jewish religion was made illegal.
Well, it was certainly illegal at this point in 73.
Yeah. And where does that bowler hat come from, Carl? It comes from a specific movie or a movie poster.
Well, to me it comes from Lindsay Anderson.
Nope. Earlier.
Okay, then tell me what you're thinking.
The Discreet Charm and the Bourgeoisie.
Nazi, okay, 71, okay, gotcha.
Yeah, that poster
yep.
With the hat and the legs. See, they're sneaking in there,
that's
too.
That's his mother early. Okay, that's
yeah,
his mother,
and
too.
That's him as a kid, but yeah, that's them sneaking in to do the Jewish Kabbalah reading. That must be the, as they call it, the town bike.
Right.
Ooh. You can boo me for that one, sorry.
Boo.
Yeah. See, she just ate an apple just like Eve. I love those tea glasses. But that's more like you would see in Pakistan or Arab countries.
Mm-hmm.
The design on the of the glass.
After and
forth. Hey, Carl. This is if this was me not trying to be serious, this is where I would make a pun, which I think he is making that pun, but.
Yeah, let's give him head.
Yeah, let's give him some head.
The other possibility is.
Did you notice
when they
pulled it out, it looked like a real human head, but there it looks like a dummy?
Yeah. So it also could be a nod to John the Baptist getting his head chopped off, too.
Yeah. How weird is that, you know? Well, I know people like that. If it's in the shop, it must be for sale.
Suddenly we're in Lawrence Wilkland, by the way.
Ha-ha! One of the few explanations we've gotten in this movie.
Yeah. I'm fascinated by his depiction of the Jewish culture here. It's not exactly complimentary, but it's not. Okay.
Insulting either.
Yeah. Not exactly disrespectful either.
Well, the fact that a lot of Jewish shop owners would treat the art of haggling as a beautiful art and not being cheap. Not right, Carl?
What?
That they treated the art of, the act of haggling is an art form, not as being cheap.
Let me put it this way. It certainly, I think, developed into an art form. I had a very good Jewish friend who was a record dealer, and he and I would haggle all the time. And I was cheap. I was selling stuff cheap because I wanted to move it. I was sort of a wholesaler. We still argued.
Yeah.
God bless Shelley. Hope he's in record heavens.
But it is surrealism, so they got to take... Oh, shit. More Jewish history.
Uh-huh.
Well...
That could be the three wise men, too.
Yeah.
The wise.
Look how offended they are by the C word.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
No, his father is younger.
Okay, Carl. Another religious metaphor. Explain to them what the 7 years of plenty was.
Okay, hold on. Because that's important. Okay, it's not the 7 years. It's the parable of the rich and the poor.
Well, that's what he just said in the movie, is the 7 years of plenty.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, they're talking about periods of time, but the idea is that there's always poor and there's always rich. And who has the better, the rich have their goods on earth, but when they go to heaven, they go to hell because they've already had their reward. The poor always look for a reward elsewhere. So he's making that point. Now, here's the diaspora. This is the diaspora here. I'm sure of it.
Well, if you notice, he looks like Shylock or Fagin from Oliver.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is the thing. The idea of the Jewish miser like Fagin or Shylock, it's all about the money, right? And he's making that point.
Right.
But that's not the full of the Jewish experience. Now
I know.
You're seeing
I was just
the...
talking about his clothes, his costume.
Yeah. But here he's really making a difference between the poor and the rich here.
Yeah.
And I think that's very important.
This is how his dad went from being a shopkeeper.
Basically having nothing.
To a rabbi.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he showed the butterfly, the leap into the butterfly, because every life is about evolution, change
mm-hmm.
from who he was to who we are.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
And I love how Bakshi used that, the prayers in American pop, as a form of music.
Well, prayer has always been had music as a component.
Yeah,
The songs by David were set to music way, way back. There's always been chants. There's all, prayer is your song to God.
Yeah.
Your song. And so, yes, music has always been a component to prayer. That's a Seder, my friends. That is definitely a Seder.
You notice how through most of this, he's just observing, not participating.
Right. By the way, I want one of those hats. I do want one of those hats.
The bowlers?
Yeah, no, not the bowlers. The brim around with the yarmulke on top.
Okay, yeah. You
I'll,
ain't
I'll
got
point it out when I see it.
You ain't got a head enough for the bowlers. That's a Cossack hat, that old man.
Yeah, yeah, the Cossack hats. There you go.
And hey, doesn't that remind you of your favorite theme from Exorcist 3?
Yes.
That's one of the funniest things. Memory is a piecemeal thing.
Yeah.
So See, look how much time has passed at the Seder.
Yep.
And when he just looked under the table.
Mm-hmm. And the stamp album is important. I still haven't figured it out yet. He's got the fake eyeballs. You're mannequins again.
Yeah, the mannequin room. If you don't know this condition of each room and why each showing of the condition is important, a lot of the time changes.
Mm-hmm.
How important a magic word is that, Carl?
Words are always magic.
Yeah, but abracadabra?
Oh, yeah.
Abracadabra, alakazam. What was that word he just told us? Halewa.
Halewa. I'm not sure. I do not know the answer to that.
It's nice to get a taste of this, because usually all we've got is the French, American, and Spanish surrealism.
As I said, there is some Eastern European around. Valerie and her work of one is the cremator. Is another one.
Yeah. Valerie is French because it has Emile Lanfork in it.
No. Well, no, it's Czech. I think it was co-produced by the French. But another one that I want to bring up, which was a year earlier, and though it's considered science fiction, is very surreal, and it's my favorite science fiction film, and that's Solaris.
That's
it's
another
all about
film that deals with dream.
Yeah, exactly. And
dream
and,
logic and regret.
Oh, regret beyond belief. That film is about regret.
Did she say her name was Blanca or Bianca?
I think it was Bianca.
Okay.
Okay, great music. Love it.
That's Jewish music with a Caribbean rhythm.
That's not Jewish. That is definitely Caribbean. That's not Jewish at all.
Just like there's no timeline, there's no culture line either.
No.
I'll give you $10 million just like that. Look, they've turned back into mannequins.
Żegnajcie, panowie. Tego, co za chwilę użycie, pójdźcie przez drogę.
Lady of the Lake.
Nigdy nie porywał się...
Don't ever try to guess God's intentions. You ain't fucking God.
You know what that word translated in English is? Ignorambus.
Yeah. Ignorant.
Yeah, ignorant.
So here he's being arrested for the thought police for thinking and dreaming. Okay, that's a brutal little piece of satire.
And plus, it goes back to what we were talking about. You know. Because pretty much they did kill you for having the wrong thought.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
This makes me wonder, has he been dead throughout the whole movie?
Yeah, it could be too.
Or is this how his father died? I can remember a Polish movie. What was it? What Papa Did During the War?
Yeah, that one's not, that's not hitting for me.
Well, the what only... it's about is a little kid who mother told him all sorts of stories about his father's heroic thing when he actually got killed in the Jewish purge.
The only Polish director I know, basically, is Andrzej Wajda. And he did Canal and a number of other films.
Canal, Ashes and Diamonds.
Right, Ashes and Diamonds. But they were great films, but they were very much influenced by the Polish, by the Russian hierarchy at the time. They weren't anti-Russian. They were more about
The third one, Ashes and Diamonds, which is sort of a sequel to Canal.
Right. But that's the only Polish director I really know.
Yeah.
I'm gonna just take a look here. Give me a second.
And now he's saying the true secret about his father.
Uh-huh.
See, there's the hat. And no, Carl isn't spanking his monkey. I don't know what the hell he's going to do. Unless the woodpecker's gotten on his bone.
So in the mid-50s, there was a Stalinism in Poland, disappeared, or... And then it gave rise to the Polish Film School, and you have the early films of Roman Polanski, Krzysztof Sanussi, and Andrzej Wajda.
I forgot about Polanski. Well, he made so many U.S. films. Well, if you really look at it, he never really did make a Polish film.
Yeah, he did. Knife in the Water is Polish for sure.
Yeah.
There also another one that you would know is Agnieszka Holland.
Yeah.
Who came out about the same time. And then, of course, you go into the 80s and 90s, and you got Krzysztof Kieślowski and The Three Colors. But
see,
that's
look,
way past
he's
there.
Dead now.
Mm-hmm. No, it's hard to take a look at an actor when they're when it's a foreign actor in a foreign language. But I'm going to tell you, this the father does a great job, and so does this gentleman here.
Everyone does a great job.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
My sister used to have a brass bed like that.
They lay all on your old little brass bed. Bucky took off his hat.
Mm-hmm.
Usually a big change is going to happen when the hats are...
Or changed, yeah.
Yeah. And if you don't think we're surreal, that with them climbing in the windows and things like that, that's really how the Jews had to do their Kabbalah worship during the the Great Purge.
Okay, so just want to correct you in a little bit. Kabbalah is a very small segment. But basically, you're talking about their Shabbat. Okay, not Kabbalah,
yeah,
but Shabbat.
Yeah, the Shabbat. Yeah, my bad.
Okay, so I just wanted to make that correction.
Yeah.
You know, if people don't realize who's listening to this, I'm very much into the Jewish culture. I'm not Jewish myself, but I have very close friends of mine who are Jewish, and I've been to Shabbats. I was actually a choir director at a Reformed synagogue also.
Hey, Carl, they're showing the sink in your apartment.
Yeah. Or my room. I don't have an apartment anymore.
See, they're not letting them get out.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things we really haven't talked about is the set design. It's just amazing. And seriously,
remember
it's
when he first walked through that graveyard, the set design had it as a snowy winter?
Right.
And if you look at the tombstones now, you'll see that it's a Jewish cemetery.
By the way, I gotta love the breasts and the nipples that we're seeing. It's not overemphasized, but it's there. Of course, they're hookers.
Yeah. Well, we already seen an old school one.
Mm-hmm.
With it. No, fuck off, screw off, pee off. Now he seems like he's starting to fight the path and go his own way. Oh, he's in the synagogue, a.k.a. church.
Bugs and
more important, what's under the bugs?
Mm-hmm. Well, that would be the Torah, but what you're looking at here is sort of a representation that the religion and that is no longer valid. It's old. It's decrepit. It doesn't have any meaning.
Well, what I'm talking, it's just that they had to keep the Kabbalah hidden in places that bugs would get on it for the sheer sake of you'd only get caught with any Jewish paraphernalia.
Yeah. And by the way, again, Torah, not Kabbalah, but that's okay.
Well, Torah, you said it yourself. Oh. But Torah, yeah.
Again, shot to the diaspora, definitely.
And go ahead.
I was just going to say that another word for the diaspora is pogrom, and that was from the Russian state. They consider them pogroms. Go ahead. I'm sorry. That's all I want to say.
And another thing we really haven't talked about is this movie's a hell of a lot about his relationship with his father without him thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everything has to do with his father, and this mm-hmm. is definitely an image from the Great Purge.
Right.
And the reason why it's called the Great Purge over here is the real Jewish term is unpronounceable, so we went for the closest translation we could. Carl?
Yeah, I'm
is that
here.
You?
So the idea of indulging and having what you want could either be hell or could be purgatory also. Could be
yeah,
both.
Well, I'm just talking about that line, I have diarrhea after I have my diarrhea.
Oh, tell me about it.
Hey, imagery. So true.
You know, again, this could be hell, too. I mean, you're not sure exactly what is going on.
I would
here.
Say this is like visions that he had of his father that he had mentally suppressed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my father was a good man. My father was a great man. Like my father was a son of a bitch. But I prefer to remember around these shows as the guy who took me to the drive-in movies. He loves sci-fi. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. Oh,
a
yeah.
very censored version. And it happens when you die. The real you don't get talked about. It's the censored version. Carl was a good religious man. We all loved him. We all never had an argument with him, and we're going to miss him forever.
If you say that at my funeral, I'll make sure that Dickie gives you a goddamn raspberry, okay?
Yeah, but you know what I mean. I'm not saying that as you. I'm just saying that honestly. That's how we're all remembered.
Oh, yeah, we are. Absolutely.
And his real memories of his father's is coming out. And with all that word about sleep and purgatory and all that, I would say that he died too.
Very much so. Could very well be.
Yeah. But then remember what the guy, the conductor said when he asked him if this, any of this is real.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And no.
And no. Yeah. So everything that we think is right and wrong.
Again. Yeah, well, remember, it's, I said this at the beginning, it's all about perception, how we perceive things, how we remember things, right? And so,
yeah,
it's like if I remember my dad who's passed away, I'm going to remember certain good things about him. I'm not going to really focus
yeah.
on the negative. It's like you said.
Yeah. See, the wire has been cut. No one comes to see me.
Mm-hmm.
No one can make a cup of tea. But that's not the important line. And the important line he just said is one that could be passed over.
Right.
And what line do you think I'm thinking about?
I was up getting something, so I didn't see it.
The wires have been cut.
Yep.
Still say he was a Jewish rabbi towards the end, and that's why people were sneaking in his top window and all that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That brings up the metaphor, you should go to our shop more. Our strength is leaving me.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a subtle metaphor. He's, you know. You don't have to do that for us.
Yeah. We're getting used up by people.
You know what that really could be translated as?
Okay.
Memories.
No, absolutely.
Ask Sun Ra.
True. Space is the place.
How many people do you have we met or talked to that are just bitter that they didn't have enough time to da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da?
Oh, absolutely. I think we all have that. We never have enough time because we waste too much time.
Yeah, we don't have enough. Well, there's too much to do and not enough time. I mean, took me 53 years to meet, to find my soulmate. 53 freaking years. And my
took me 40
like,
years. It took me 40 years, and then we were divorced in a year, and then luckily we're still in touch and still care about each other.
Well, that's because of that asshole in the mirror.
Yeah, well, I'm not saying that's not true.
And then me, my liver is like, hey, you feeling good? You got the woman you like and all that? And I'm like, yeah. Well, guess what? I'm going to start bugging
you. Fuck you.
Oh, God. Yeah. We're coming up on the ending now. And have you noticed something about him?
He's now turned into the conductor.
Yeah, he's the conductor now. He's blind. Because he can't see the truth.
Uh-huh.
And I've seen a lot of people wandering around the world.
Blind. That are blind. Even though they see. I once was blind, but now I see.
Yeah. How wild is it they use so many, he used so many religions in this movie and not just Judaism.
Anyway,
we haven't. Go ahead.
We haven't talked about one thing.
What?
About the film. And I just want to make it clear because I'm hearing the soundtrack in the background here. And the music has just been wonderful all throughout this.
And you notice what's missing right here?
Well, I still see the graves.
Yeah, but what don't you see?
I don't know what you're saying, so
color.
Go ahead. No, there's color there.
Yeah, just
it's
candlelight.
It's muted, but it's there.
Yeah, very muted color. He slowly let it fade into black and white, except for certain things that he drawing your eye to. Like, look, there's his mother at the grave, at either his father or his grave.
Well, that was a revelation. I will have to watch
God,
this again.
Yeah. Now, this one's going to go into... Okay, reconstruct the same film. Okay. People, I'm going to say this every time they show up. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Absolutely. Agree. Ditto, 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 ditto. Thank you. That was something, my friend.
What do you think this would have done if it really would have hit the midnight circuit and had time to flower and grow?
Well, you know, just like anything else, it still would have been a roll of the dice. I think this one is a little more dense than something like El Topo. Not that El Topo isn't dense. But this one feels different. This one doesn't have that wow factor that El Topo had. It's more muted, and it's more, I think it's much more, I won't say cerebral because they're both cerebral, but it's more perhaps intellectual on a more, you have to be more studied, I think. And also with the religious sense of it. Is much more in your face.
Yeah, El Topo is more in your face with its religious mayor, you know.
Well, in a different way, though. In a much different way. El
Topo
is much more analogy, and it's more obvious here because it's so Jewish.
Well, no, I'm talking about, you know, in El Topo, the three grandmasters he fights are representing different religions, you know, the yin and yang. It's just obvious. But in this one, it's there. But if you really aren't
familiar,
theologically sound or intelligent, a lot of the non-Jewish stuff will fluify over your head.
Oh, absolutely. No, it's really something. This was a revelation. How many years has it been since you first heard of this? I heard of this in the late 70s, early 80s.
Same year. I forget what book I read about this in, but yeah.
Same here. I read it in a book. Absolutely. It might have been the same book. I don't forget what it was. Forgot what it was, but damn.
I know it was that both films were written about in Danny Perry's cult movies.
Well, this wasn't in Danny Perry's book, I'm sure of it. It wasn't in Psychotronic.
I read about this in Shock Cinema.
You read it in Shock. I used to get film theory books and real, like, college text, and I read it in one of those.
Yeah.
And I'm sure I was in college at the time, now that I think of it.
And every time I've seen a print of this pop up in gray market books or magazines, the gray market catalogs of sale.
Right.
There never was any English subtitles.
Well,
but
luckily
for
we
a
had.
A lot of them, we just wanted the experience of seeing them. And if it was subtitles, that would be like cake after
a
great dinner, you know.
that's a hell
one,
of a film, my friend.
Oh, God, yeah. We're going to have to figure out some way to do a time break or record. No, we can't. We got to find some way to do the Hourglass Sanatorium, but that one's 3 hours and 3 minutes, and it is real dense, and this one, and it pretty much has, you know how it was like tail within tail and tail?
Yeah, you know, what we'll have to do is we'll have to watch the Hourglass. We'll have to watch this Saragossa manuscript first and figure out where's the good place to break it, because there's no way we can do anything that's over 3 hours on Block Talk. It can't be done.
Yeah.
Unless you break it up.
Or I paid $100 and...
No.
I wish I had the money where I could get that $100 thing, get my own 1-800 number so anyone can call from anywhere.
Yep.
But, yeah, thank you, everyone, for taking this journey on me, and thank you. What is the rest of the plan for the rest of the week for you, Mr. K. Fair?
Okay, well, first thing I want to do is just mention that yesterday, you can look it up on Blog Talk Radio, Deviant Nation. We did our first commentary on the LGBTQ Pride Month, and that was The Favorite, Yorgos Lanthimos' film from 2018, and we did
Oh, no wonder I didn't like it.
What, you don't like Lanthimos?
No, he's one of those modern surrealists that I just...
Well, this wasn't surreal at all. It wasn't surreal at all. But I do like him very, very much. Okay, so what I could tell you...
Okay, never mind. My bad, because I did love The Killing of Sacred Deer.
Sacred Deer. Okay, so tomorrow we are having an intense show, which is hosted by Vicki Love. And what we're going to be doing is we're going to be talking about words and also books that are being rewritten and redefined by the politically correct and quote woke sense. And I will tell you this, you'll need to strap in for that one. I'm just warning you now.
Yeah. Well, there's a scary question that comes from that.
Okay.
What's scarier, book burning or re-editing a book and whiteouting a book to fit the culture and point of view that you want it to have?
I think they're both horrible, but we'll get into that.
Yeah.
What's scarier is
which is scarier.
Well, you know what scariest thing is? When Vicky gets on the ring on the show and like goes off, trust me on that. On Friday, we're going to do Cathode Ray Mission is doing a show on Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, which just finished this last season. And then on Sunday, this is very interesting. TC is going to have an evening with Jeff Fetterman. Jeff Fetterman is a blues guitarist who has toured with Joe Bonamassa and various people, and he's actually from our hometown of Bradford, Pennsylvania. I actually sold Jeff his first guitar. So we're going to have a show that features the music of Jeff Fetterman, and we'll talk to him about his career and how it's going. And that's what we've got for the rest of the week.
Yeah. And the reason I didn't curse or any of our usual silliness is I wanted to pay the movie serious respect.
Well, I dropped a couple F-bombs, but that's the way it is sometimes. But not nearly as many.
Your Jewish and religious knowledge was severely,
needed in this one. Yeah, well, listen, we've been talking about this one for a long time, Stephen, and you and I have wanted to do this. So this is a wonderful opportunity.
If you watched this on YouTube and liked this or listened to this and there, and you still collect physical media, please go get the Blu-ray from Vinegar Syndrome, because if you buy it, that will show them that there is an interest and they will do more.
Agreed.
I like Criterion, but they don't take risks like with Polish fantasy and sci-fi and stuff like that. They gamble too much with sure things nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
And which is understandable, but it's still a goddamn shame.
Yeah, it is.
Thank you, people, for listening. And good night whenever you listen to this, or did you listen to this?
Absolutely. Good night, people. Thank you very much.
Good night.